3 today.
He was set to do a 50-show concert gig in London. You know, and I think somebody even had a ticket for me. Who knows how much money he would have bagged on that one. The King of Pop, Michael Jackson, maybe $400 million. Imagine the merchandise sales now in his death since Thursday of a cardiac arrest. Lots of questions, a lot of intrigue over Michael Jackson, and everybody is talking about it. Hey, everybody, hope you had a fabulous weekend. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Sorry about the circumstances, but thrilled to welcome to our show Joel Denver, president and publisher of AllAccess.com. Joel, thanks for hopping on the air with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. How are you this evening?
I'm great. And, you know, you've been watching this, certainly. I mean, it's crazy. Everywhere you turn, everybody's talking about him. I said, Joel, and I just said it out loud, I wonder if you were to compare what's now happened with Michael Jackson. This isn't a music person, but remember the outpouring for Princess Di? I think it's surpassing that.
Well, I think it's, you know, Michael touched people in a lot of different ways that Di did, and in many similar ways that Di did. He was a very charitable person. He had worldwide influence. He traveled the globe. He performed for a lot of people. You know, Princess Di traveled the globe. She appeared for a lot of people. But, you know, Michael, I mean, his history, stems back some 30, 40 years now. And he was a young boy when he first came onto the music scene with the Jackson 5 and in the late 70s and in the late 60s, early 70s, and it was like it was a breath of fresh air, and his star continued to shine even as a solo artist, as we know.
Yeah, Joel, there's no doubt with your storied career, I'll say, all over the map, certainly on the air, program director, you have massive music ins, absolutely. And you had meetings with Michael Jackson during your career. So that puts you in a whole different category than most people who just want a glimpse, want to touch, want to feel something about him. What was it like? What were those meetings like? What do you remember, I guess, the most out of them?
Well, the best part about Michael was the fact that, you know, you would hope that he would be a gentleman. And he would hope that he would be a nice person, warm and engaging. And he was all of that and more. It was quite a thrill to get to chat with him and to exchange a couple of ideas and a couple of viewpoints. And, you know, it wasn't a long meeting. It was at the publisher's office at the publication I worked for at the time, Radio and Records newspaper. And there was about 15 of us in the publisher's office that got a chance to spend a few minutes each with Michael. And it was probably one of the highlights of my life to be able to talk to such an amazing person.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Joel, when you're in the business, everybody, and I know this from even my sports side of my career, everybody takes pictures with everyone. Did you take a picture with Michael?
You know, I do have a picture, and I certainly wish I could lay my hands on it. I've got pictures of me with John Lennon and Paul McCartney and a lot of other people, and I really went around the house this weekend looking for it, going like, it's somewhere here, and I'm really bummed that I can't lay my hands on it immediately.
You're going to have to open up some of those boxes, Joel.
That's right. That garage is big, and there's a lot of boxes.
Hey, Michael Jackson's impact on the music industry, everybody's doing stories on this, and they're trying to put their thumb on it. And I was thinking the other day when it happened, you know, who do you even compare him to? Elvis Presley
Elvis Presley in his own way, Prince in his own way. I mean, there's a lot of terrific. I mean, Frank Sinatra in his own way. You know, it's kind of interesting because Michael Jackson is a generational artist. There's 30, 40 years of people that have grown to love him and have adopted his music and loved his music. I mean, you know, when he came onto the scene with as a solo artist, he changed society. He made some huge changes. It was his technical, his choreography and technical know-how and skill and his and the production of all those great videos, Billie Jean and such, that, you know, really came at the right time for MTV, and MTV came at the right time for him. They both were symbiotic in helping each other tremendously.
Yeah, no kidding. Thriller, I mean, everybody's talking about that, and you're hearing it all over the radio. It's played nonstop, of course, now, but it always was played a ton. The success of that, just how do you measure that success of Thriller?
Well, Thriller is the all-time worldwide leading album. It's rumored it's not it's with the, a lot of the early sales weren't tracked by SoundScan, so we don't know some of the early numbers, but we know that it shipped 28 million copies, which according to the RIAA is a double diamond ship. And one of the things that they estimate it's 109 million albums plus. And of course, you know, with this untimely death, all the stores were emptied across America of any remaining Michael Jackson albums, and I'm sure that the labels are Epic Records and such are working overtime to replenish that supply because there's going to be a tremendous demand for a long time. In fact, at iTunes, 8 of the top 10 songs this weekend were Michael Jackson songs.
Yeah, no kidding. Crazy. Hey, in looking at Michael Jackson, and you've said it, you think 30, 40 years, you think how long this guy spanned the music industry. What was it that made him so fascinating to us? Was it the fact that he could transform himself and all the different music and that kind of stuff? Was there something else? Was it some of the kind of, let's say, eccentric things, obviously, later in his life? What was it about him?
I think, I mean, he just his raw talent was just unbelievable. I mean, he cooked up the moonwalk. I mean, he'd done so, like I said, he just done some amazing things musically. And then, of course, there was the oddities to him as the person. I mean, he was really two types of people: the outward Michael Jackson and the inside Michael Jackson. And there were two different people. The inside Michael Jackson was obviously tormented and obviously had his problems. And the outside Michael Jackson was the consummate performer and entertainer. And I think there was, his legal issues, that dealt with his, of course, his finances, and of course the other legal issues dealing with the allegations of improper behavior with young children, which he was never convicted of.
Right.
You know, these are things that kept him in the limelight. I mean, you know, that Pepsi thing back in like 1984, I believe it was, when he was filming this special for Pepsi and his hair caught fire. I mean, you know, when that happened, he gave like $1.5 million to a hospital to form the Michael Jackson Burn Institute. You know, they saved his scalp. They saved his, you know, his ability to go on and continue to perform. And I think he was, you know, an incredibly generous person.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you think we'll ever see anyone star rise as big as, I mean, I know there's talented people in the music business, but will we ever see anyone again as big as Michael Jackson?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to say that, you know, that anybody can ever be or won't be as big as so-and-so. You know, Michael Jackson's persona and his career, you know, mushroomed over a series of years. And like you say, it's 30, 40 years of history here. And, you know, who knows who is out there today that we're just starting to hear on the radio? Could it be Rihanna? Could it be Mariah Carey? Could it be anybody that's out there right now? Could they end up being as big as Michael Jackson one day? You never know. And that's the wonders of society and the product of an entertainer's music. You know, it takes a huge consensus to make a star as big as Michael Jackson. It takes a consensus of opinion, a consensus of love of the music, and a consensus of that this person really represents something that I feel within themselves, that they go out and they buy the music. You know, buying music is not just something to own. Buying music is an emotional thing. People buy music because they have an emotional attachment to the songs. And Michael Jackson was obviously one of the best ever at creating that emotional attachment.
Boy, no kidding. What a good note to end on. Joel, we know you're a busy guy. We appreciate the time. Joel Denver, president and publisher of AllAccess.com. Joel, thanks.
Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
You too. All right, so now the question is, what about the merchandise? You think of what, like Elvis Presley last year, $52 million, and years before, so much money. Charles Schulz, the creator of the Peanuts. His estate, $33 million in 2008, and I think Michael Jackson surpasses that maybe by the end of the year. Hang with us, more to come.
Your relationships are a mirror of you.
That's good news, because it means you have the power to effect positive change in the quality of love you create in your life.
It's all up to you.
Join us, Joseph and Sarah Malinak, for creating your ideal relationship on WebTalkRadioNetwork.com.
We'll help you create loving, ideal relationships. Give us a listen at WebTalkRadioNetwork.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, It owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, July 3rd, 2009. Gold's at $933.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $960.74, $480.37 for a half ounce, and $240.18 for a quarter ounce. That's $960.74, $480.37, and $240.18.
On June 4th, 1963, an unknown presidential decree, Executive Order 11110, was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop. Thanks to NewRev. NewRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NewRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NewRev for free. Just pay to have NewRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NewRevOnline.com. That's N-U-R-E-V online.com. NewRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
Coming up later on the show, the latest on Iran and the protests in the streets. They started again, and some of the footage is leaking out. Also, Transformers, despite what technical man Matt thought and what I thought, not that we didn't think it would do good at the box office, but we can't believe what it did at the box office. I'll tell you about that. And on the more important side, too, three Supreme Court cases up for grabs, including the fireman's case. We'll dive into that a little bit later on the show. We've been talking about health care a ton, though, and what's going to happen. Of course, there's a lot of lobbying for Obama's plan. He's had lots of people on the Hill to talk about it. And one of the things that's being considered is this public option combined with the private insurers. And you know how I feel about that. We've been talking about it for a long time now, for at least the past month or so. So joining us on the show to give a little more insight into something pretty specific that we've talked about, like Medicare and Medicaid, is Mark McKenzie. He's an expert in this, certainly. He's the CEO of Senior Care Centers. It's a group of health and rehab facilities in North Texas. I know there are a lot of people listening to us all over Texas and certainly on our great affiliate KVCE in Dallas, Texas, 1160 AM. And, of course, we're coast to coast and everywhere in between, so everybody can, I believe, relate to this. I've gotten a lot of emails on it. Mark, thanks for jumping on the show. We appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
If this whole thing ends up, and something's going to happen with healthcare, I mean, I'm not sure what. We're seeing all the debates starting in Washington, D.C. But what people want to know is kind of what's being proposed out there. What would that do to Medicare and Medicaid? I know that's a broad question, but what would it do?
I think it would have definitely negative impact on both payer sources. Because if you listen to what the president is talking about, he looks to fund his new health care plan through the reductions of through Medicare and Medicaid savings, which is really a reduction of the payment terms to all providers, whether it be skilled nursing facilities, physicians, Medicare, Part D drug providers. And so as if you take that on out through the system, you can only assume that with a reduction in payment will be a reduction in opportunities to receive services if you have that funding mechanism or you participate within the Medicare Medicaid program. And as it pertains for the seniors that we care for in our facilities, that would be, they are generally the most acutely ill of the patients needing the more significant complex medical services. And so it is going to put it's not going to change their need. It is certainly going to change the need for how we approach and deliver care in that environment. And frankly, it puts us at an already stretched budget trying to address issues to make sure that we meet those needs. I think the challenging piece to that is that the president has yet to really come out on point as it pertains to those programs, how it will fold in on the overall plan, other than he wants to follow, if you look at what he talked about in his May 7th comments on how he was going to fund this, it truly is through the reduction of Medicare and Medicaid, and then through additional revenues, which one can only assume to be taxes based on the conversations as you listen to both on the Senate and the Congress.
All right, so somebody in your shoes, obviously you don't want to see this. You're certainly, that's part of the some of your facilities and what you're counting on, and also the people themselves. So what do you do? Are there people, I know there are people lobbying on the other side of this saying, whoa, wait a second, what are you doing with Medicaid, Medicare, all that sort of stuff? What's your take on that? What's the answer to try to brush this back and say, we need some specifics before you go slashing this off?
Well, I think that's just it. We continue to push for specifics and to really drill out what does this mean as it pertains to the seniors. Because when they talk about the non-covered patient or the non-covered individual, they talk about those under 65. They never really do address a lot as it pertains to those over 65 because it is a Medicare, Medicaid issue. So we have been kind of left on the sideline, one, because there's not a lot of commentary out there. We are pushing and lobbying against it, and as we speak today, you know, our only hope as we move forward is that at some point there's some sense of rationality enters into the system, and then I guess if you take it to the end result, one would hope that public policy on coming out on services not representing or being strong to the senior clientele is traditionally not a politically advantageous approach.
No.
And I'm hoping that will kind of tap the brakes so that it forces some true dialogue on both sides. Because as you let off, obviously it's a big spin for our government, and we have to come up with alternative opportunities and alternative formats and to paying for the service and the thing that services are covered for those that need it.
Yeah, and obviously, Mark, too, I mean, people have, there's a big chunk of the population that's aging. So even though people listening, like I have a lot of young people that listen to the show, this spans all age ranges, whether they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, people listening to the show or beyond. Some of them would obviously have some concerns about this because they have parents, for number one, or grandparents that are aging that are going to be in an awful position, right?
Correct. Or they will be looked to fund the shortfall.
Yes.
Those individuals, too, will become politically, I don't want to say politically motivated. I would rather them become just educated on the overall system and hope and help us get the facts out so we can make an informed decision as public.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Are people asking in your care centers? Because, you know, older people have a lot of time. They're watching a lot of Tube, and they're hearing about this because this has been heavy conversation. They're watching Fox News Channel or whatever. Do you have a lot of seniors asking about it? They have to be concerned.
Absolutely. But really, the component that is asking more are their sons, daughters, or grandchildren, because they have put it together and realized that for every dollar reduced within the system, it doesn't necessarily change the overall cost. It just changes who has to fund that cost. And as we have learned over the past, that often reverts back to the consumer themselves in what is allowed to be charged and then passed on if they're on these services. And so at a certain point, I'm sure that they are quite concerned that it drops either to their grandparents that are there in the facility or onto them as it pertains to them as a caregiver in an alternative environment.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. All right, Mark, we'll see what happens with this proposed legislation, because it, right now the way it stands, like we were just talking about, major cutbacks probably in funding for senior care facilities. There's no question about that. So I have my fingers crossed, because I know a lot of people are very worried, and I think it's just awful sometimes the way that we treat older people. So I don't want to see a bunch of older people be frightened and worried about what are they going to do, and then their families can't afford it and all that sort of stuff. So we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, and so as I mentioned, you know, we'll be talking about this a little bit more, but I've already talked about this somewhat, the fact that we know when you've got nursing home facilities or you have, like, I have my grandfather who's going to be 93. He's in assisted living, and thank goodness everything's fine and there's pensions, and, of course, my family would obviously help out, but we're all in that same situation. But he's worried about it. He's a smart guy. He's watching the news, and he doesn't want to be a burden to anybody. What happens if I have to go into a nursing home, all that sort of stuff? So I can relate to this. And you're talking about, serious, serious slashes in funding that are being proposed. And already we know the public option and the private option combined. I'm worried about that anyway, and I said this before. You got this cost now, and who's paying for it? I mean, that's the thing everybody keeps saying. Where is the money coming from? The cost is like $1.6 trillion, right? $1.6 trillion. So, fine, show me the plan, show me the funding, show me how you don't lop off what's going toward seniors who families desperately need it, or the seniors themselves, because what are we going to do about the aging population? We know people are strapped beyond belief, because where's the middle class going, right? So there are a lot of problems, I think, with some of the stuff that's being proposed in the broad strokes. We need specific knowledge on this, specific pinpoint. Tell me what goes into Medicaid or Medicare, or is it out? What happens? How are you melding the public and the private together, right? And it's been a hard sell for Obama so far, and we know that he's a pretty good talker and a pretty good persuader. So I think that this is going to get tossed around a ton. We have Odds and Ends coming up next on America Tonight.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride Flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride Flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
We're going to talk about the very famous TV pitchman that I guarantee you have heard his spots, mysteriously dying at the age of 50. Wait till you hear his story. Incredibly sad. And the family doing an autopsy because there's such a mystery surrounding this. You know, talking fine and in a weird little plane incident. And that could be the cause. Who knows? It just seems a little bit odd. We'll talk about that coming up around the bend. But first, I think really one of the big stories that because of Michael Jackson and what's happening with him and what about all the pills he took and what about the doctors and what about all the money and what about the merchandise and all that stuff, it's really overshadowed a lot of other things that are happening that are huge, like what's going on in Iran. Not to say that, yeah, we haven't heard anything about Iran. And, of course, there is the media blackout. So anything that's coming through, obviously, is because of somebody Twittering it or doing their best to just get it out however they can. There are more problems in Tehran. And finally, what's happening is that thousands are continuing to demonstrate. If they have to be silent about it, then that's what they're doing. But, you know, a lot of cops were watching him, thousands of protesters moving down a major thoroughfare. This happened over the weekend on Sunday, and it was the first demonstration over the election results way back in June 12th that has happened in the last couple of days because of all the things that are going on in the streets. So you had about 5,000 people basically shuffling in silence down, as I said, a major thoroughfare in Tehran. And, of course, you think of the people who lost their lives in this, and we don't really know how many. The word is it's 17, but, you know, hey, that could be more. In the meantime, Mousavi, the leading opposition candidate in that race, tried to address the crowd at one point through a mobile phone that was patched through a public address system, but you couldn't really understand what he was saying. Gee, I wonder why. But there was massive police. And then, of course, there was the government-backed paramilitary, basically people with bats and steel in their hand, hitting people if anything were to get out of control. And there were some arrests and that sort of stuff, but it looks like it was pretty peaceful and all went okay. And now you have Ahmadinejad coming out against Obama in the U.S., of course, and all that other sort of stuff. And Iran's press is disputing the story of the Neda, the girl who died. Remember, her father was following her. We talked about that a lot, walking down the street in a protest. Next thing you know, and it's filmed. She's laying there in a pool of blood. Just awful, awful graphic stuff to watch. Sad, with her father standing right there. And, of course, they're disputing the story of her death. So what does our ambassador to the UN think of what's happening in Iran? In other words, what's our response supposed to be? That kind of stuff. And Susan Rice was on one of the Sunday morning shows, and here's what she had to say.
Well, it seems that for the time being, the opportunity for them to protest in a very public and organized way has been constrained. But something extraordinary has happened of late in Iran, and the popular discontent, the incredible diversity of the coalition that has come together to demand change, from women to the elderly to youth, the very religious to the more secular, has been quite extraordinary. And I think that this is a profound moment of change in Iran, the implications and consequences of which we are yet to fully see unfold. What seems to be going on again is something that has been a traditional element of the regime's playbook, which is to blame the outside world, blame the West, blame the United States, rather than to recognize and acknowledge that what has transpired in Iran is really between the people of Iran and their government. This is a profound moment of change. And Ahmadinejad is, in fact, as we well know, not the principal decision maker when it comes to foreign policy and national security. It is the supreme leader. That was the case before the election. It is the case now. And we will proceed in pursuit of our national interests.
All right, so to me, it sounds like we're kind of just passing this off like, wow, this is a profound moment, and we're keeping our eye on what's going on in this country, da-da-da-da. But still, there's no key decision there. She didn't go on the show and say, well, you know what, we're really seriously talking about massive a cutoff for Iran, and forget this whole idea of trying to accept. And, of course, I guess, you know, that's not her role. But her role, I would think, would be a little beefier than that as the ambassador at the UN. I mean, give us some meat. Tell us what is being said. Tell us something that, about what other people are saying in that inner circle in the UN, other than the press clips we're hearing that are, of course, just saying, oh, the people are showing their colors or whatever. I mean, come on. Give me a break. I just thought it was a whole bunch of nothing. At basically sort of doublespeak. Well, there was no doublespeak here after about, what, now 2 weeks of silence with all this fallout from the election. The former president, Ali Akbar Hashimi Rafsanjani, a key Iranian cleric, came out Sunday to actually call out suspicious sources. That's what he said. And he said they're creating a rift between the public and the Islamic government. He said that the election has become a tangled mess perpetrated by suspicious sources whose objectives, these are his words translated, whose objectives are to create differences and separations between the people and the system and the eroding the trust of the people in the Islamic system. Okay. So he was speaking to a gathering, basically, of family members related to the victims of the June 28, 1981 explosion. If you remember, made big headlines. 70 people were killed at the Islamic Republic Party headquarters. So they were honoring that as they do every year. And that's what he was talking about. Now, he's the chairman of Iran's Assembly of Experts. That's what they call them. And they're basically responsible for appointing or removing the supreme leader. But even though this chaos has been happening for the past couple of weeks, they haven't said anything about that. So it doesn't look like the Ayatollah al-Khamenei has any problem staying in place. And, of course, he is certainly endorsing the victory of President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. So, you know, hey, Rafsanjani actually supported the opposition guy, Mousavi, and, you know, he hasn't said anything since then. So he said the decision is valuable in order to gain the trust and conviction of the people in the electoral process. So he's backing the extension that's now been granted by the election authority to actually handle the complaints, people complaining that it's not right what happened with the election and various specifics of voting and voter fraud and that kind of thing. But, yeah, really, what do you think is going to happen as a result of this? And it's going to be nothing, of course, because ultimately it's going to be, hey, no, you know, we looked into it, but Ahmadinejad has won this election, obviously, with the supreme leader not getting the dress down. We know where this is going. But it's fascinating that the people are still trying to find ways. They're not giving up. It looked like, geez, maybe this is going to be kind of quelled, but it hasn't been quelled. There's still people who are willing to put it on the line, and if they have to get involved in a peaceful march and mask it as something else or whatever it is they have to do, they're going to continue to press. And I think a lot of people in that country were furious about the fact that Iran's press is saying that the story of Nada, the woman I told you about before that everybody's been talking about, the 26-year-old that was killed on June 20th, that this isn't correct, what's been captured on amateur video, that no security forces were there when she was killed. But clearly on this video that we've seen, looks like it probably was a cell phone and then posted online. I mean, clearly you can tell, well, who obviously is doing that? I mean, where are the shots coming from? And, of course, the idea is because she's become such a hero or an iconic victim of this government crackdown, the idea is to squash that. And that's what the press TV is saying. They're saying the type of bullets that killed her were not used by Iranian security forces. So this is a state-funded network. And this is why on this show so often, even if I don't agree with some of the things that I hear from other press people or reporters or whatever, I say this all the time. That's why it's about freedom of speech, because you can turn the channel, you can turn the dial. But can you imagine if we had this kind of crap that was pumped into the United States where you never got the true story and everything was spun so the outside world wouldn't really know what was happening? Because, again, of her popularity. We're keeping our eyes, obviously, on Iran. We're going to have more experts on because, as I said before, I don't think this is going to be squashed anytime soon. I think the people are going to continue to find ways to somehow make this movement keep on good for them. Coming up next, the crazy, strange, awful death of a very famous TV pitchman. We'll do that next on America Tonight.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worried how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from?
You know that the economy is getting worse, but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim, be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
About your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
For the Big City Slider Station, the fast and easy way to press and cook delicious sliders, those restaurant mini burgers everyone loves. No more squishing and squashing or flipping and flopping. With the Slider Station, just scoop, press, and cook right on your stove. The unique design cooks both sides at once, so you never have to flip them. And in just 2 minutes, you'll have five mouth-watering sliders. Use dinner rolls, potato rolls, any bun. You can double or triple stack them and watch your family attack them. Top with pickles, onions, ketchup or cheese, Big City Sliders are sure to please. The double-sided non-stick surface is so slick, not even burnt-on cheese will stick. Whether it's ground beef, chuck, or sirloin, just scoop, press, and cook. No flipping and no hassle. Make healthy turkey, chicken, and veggie burgers with ease and join the craze with me, Billy Mays.
I'm sure you heard those commercials. Hey, America. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a great weekend. Coast to coast and everywhere in between. We're talking about all kinds of things on this show. Boy, there is a lot to talk about. This was a horrible story that I heard of over the weekend. He died at his house in Tampa, Florida on Sunday morning. And you remember him for a ton of commercials. I'm sure you recognize his voice. You don't have to see his face. I just saw a special on Pitchman probably 3 weeks ago on CNBC, and he was heavily featured in it because you see him everywhere. Everybody wants his voice. They love him. He sells. He certainly in his career, he sold a ton of things, moved a ton of merchandise. And you probably know him for OxyClean. You remember that? Shouting OxyClean ads, I mean, really at the top of his lungs. And 7:45 in the morning on a sleepy Sunday in Tampa, the medical examiner pronounced that he was dead. They're doing an autopsy. But here's the strange part about it. He was on this plane. He was on a U.S. Airways flight from Philadelphia to Tampa, right? On Saturday, it had a hard landing at Tampa's airport. When the plane hit, the front tire blew out. So there weren't any injuries that were reported on the flight, but, of course, there were television crews out there interviewing people, and he was one of the guys that got off the flight. Listen to what he talked about.
All of a sudden, as we hit, it was just the hardest hit. All the top, things from the ceiling start dropping, and it hit me on the head, but I got a hard hit, so...
Yeah, and so you see this, and, I mean, you hear this, and the airline is saying that there were no injuries from flight 1241, but they're cooperating, of course, with the investigation because of what he said. This, how did he die? What happened? And the thing that I thought as soon as I heard the deal about his head was Natasha Richardson. Oh, man. Remember the freak skiing accident? She was on the bunny hill, didn't have a helmet on. She had a hard hit on her head, and then she ended up dying as a result of that. It was one of those freakish things. And I don't know that they'll say that's what it is, but that's immediately what I thought about, that this famous infomercial man who was just there on the plane, that happened, he gets hit hard, mentions that to the TV station when they're looking for people to talk to coming off the plane, because, of course, it made news with the blowout on the tire and all that sort of stuff, and maybe it is somehow related, some kind of a head injury. And the family's saying that they're not going to make any kind of public statements about his death because he was a private person, even though he had this public life, but I'm sure it'll come out if it was something related to a head injury. And all they're saying right now, the Discovery Channel, in fact, released a statement just that he died in his sleep, and he was this larger-than-life personality, a pitchman of all things who becomes a well-known pioneer in that field. Isn't it strange, Matt? And you said to me when we were off the air the same exact thing. You thought immediately of Natasha Richardson as well.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of because it's the same type of ordeal where they both had a slight head injury or what appears to be a slight head injury and think they're fine, kind of refuse more exclusive
treatment
tests
or whatever.
Treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they go home and it's hours later and they don't wake up. You know, they're not responsive.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it turns out to be that, I think that when people really smash or hit their head hard, you know, and you feel like, ooh, I hit my head, more people are going to go to emergency rooms, I would hope, I guess, and check that out. You don't think about it. You think about it, of course, if you're riding a motorcycle, fall off, hit your head. You think of dramatic things that you survive and do something to the head, whatever it is. But in those two cases, if it turns out to be that, you're not thinking that. Now, of course, it could have been completely unrelated. Who knows? We don't know the results of the autopsy. As I said, he passed away in his sleep. It could have been something else that led to his death. We don't know. It's just odd that he happened to mention that. So certainly big news. I mean, this has been a week and a half of a lot of deaths of people that are well known for very different reasons, certainly. I mentioned this, and it's worth throwing out here again. I happened to drive by a couple of movie theaters over the weekend. I didn't go and see any flicks, but I noticed there were a ton of cars because I'm thinking, oh, yeah, people are going to the movies either with their kids maybe because kids are out of school or they're just catching one of the new movies that are out. But summertime can be a big time for movies. It was a big time for Transformers. I cannot even believe what they raked in. So this is the second one, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Over the weekend, I'm not like making these numbers up, $112 million. That's the weekend. So far, over $201 million since it opened on Wednesday. I mean, this at this rate, I'm going to say this could easily become the biggest movie at the box office, the biggest one this year. because you, I think last week I did Where Everybody Was, Night at the Museum, and some of the more popular flicks. But man, with such a hot start, and you know, you're not. This isn't even talking about the second week. This one could make maybe even more than the first one. It's a colossal start. The opening 5 days amounted to nearly two-thirds of the $319 million, that's domestic, cha-ching factor for the franchise's first movie, what it did over the entire run in 2007. Oh, and see, now what happens, because this was like opening week, so there'll be more theaters that will show it. It'll play in more countries. So I got to think that overall, even, you know, you talk about domestically and then you talk about overseas, it's probably going to be the top grossing movie. That is just absolutely crazy. Only second at this point with this kind of a run to last summer's The Dark Knight. Yeah. Which had like 203 million, something like that. Wow. Just crazy. Tell you what, the guy who puts these things together, the director, Michael Bay, man, he knows how to put these things together. He is the king of the summer box office. And it's funny because Transformers actually got terrible reviews. That there was just a ton of visual effects. There wasn't really much story. It wasn't very humanish, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, he's one of those guys that seems like he has the golden touch. So, wow, a five-day record. I mean, they even have them in IMAX theaters. You know, as much as I'm a movie hound, I know I will not be one of those people that is going to be contributing to the bottom line for Transformers. Now, the Disney Pixar animation flick Up. I'll tell you, I want to go and see that. I've heard good things about that. I want to take my... A little bit of a difference there, but of course, two different, very different kind of movies, right? Hey, just remember, everybody, despite a lot of the heavy things we talk about here on America Tonight, we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, and you can still travel around that carousel and grab that brass ring.